The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he said and followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they went and saw where Jesus was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. Then he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Kephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. Today in this first reading, the great prophet Samuel is a boy, and he keeps hearing a call. He thinks it's Eli. At that time, the reading says, Samuel was not familiar with the voice of the Lord, because the Lord had not revealed anything to him yet. But Eli knew the Lord and was able to provide the guidance that Samuel needed to respond to the call. We had this first reading on Wednesday of this past week. And what got my attention on Wednesday was actually the three verses of this reading that are not appearing here today. And I would like to read those to you. This is what comes right before the first reading we heard today. During the time young Samuel was minister to the Lord under Eli, a revelation of the Lord was uncommon and vision infrequent. One day Eli was asleep in his usual place. His eyes had grown so weak that he could not see. The lamp of God was not yet extinguished, and Samuel was sleeping in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. The Lord called to Samuel, who answered, "Here I am." And that's where the reading begins today. These first verses got my attention because it talks about how the voice of the Lord had become uncommon and vision infrequent. And I guess I had just finished watching a video about how electronic devices are basically changing humanity, the way in which people enter into relationships, the way in which people communicate, the way that they don't have to really interact with people at all anymore. You can have everything done for you, even now, by artificial intelligence, which isn't even a person. So I decided to look up what could have gone wrong at this particular time. There were 6 generations between Moses and King David, about 300 years. Samuel could have been David's grandfather because he was an old man when David was anointed king. Eli could have been Samuel's grandfather. He had 2 adult sons when the child Samuel was presented to the temple. So if the first generation spent their time in the desert, this is only the second or third generation from the time that they came into this promised land. And Eli's family were the ones who were given the job to take care of the Ark of the Covenant. In the book of Samuel, it explains how the sons of Eli had become corrupt. They were immoral. They were eating the sacrifices that people were coming to the temple to give to God. And God promises Eli that his sons are going to be destroyed and his family will disappear. Well, these 300 years, 6 generations, I started to think how fast changes take place. And I can't imagine they would be changing as often and fast as they do today. But still, think about that, 6 generations. What can go wrong? My great-grandparents were nearly all born at the time of the Civil War, between 1860 and 1867. My great-grandparents. And I think about how many changes have taken place in these past 160 years. The world of our parents is not the world that we live in today. And at that time, God's voice had become obscured, but he was about to change everything. Shortly after this story, the Philistines go to war with the Hebrew people. The ark is actually lost for a while. They take it. But Samuel hears this voice, and Eli helps him recognize it. And God's plan is taking a new shape. The time of the judges comes to an end. Eli's sons are killed in battle. And then in his grief, Eli falls and breaks his neck and dies. So this is now something completely new that's happening. So now in the gospel today, it's John the Baptist who reveals Jesus to two of his disciples, Andrew, and the other one is assumed to be St. John because he's the one that wrote the gospel. It is Andrew who then goes to his brother Simon Peter and brings him to Jesus. All of these stories involve a call and another person who reveals the meaning of that call to the person who is called. In all of these stories, hearing the call requires the instrumentality of others, others who make the connection, who make the dialogue possible, to allow someone to finally discover the way, the truth, and the life. What happens here today is this idea that a community discerns together. Well, words are very confused today. We don't know who to believe because most often we don't know the person who is speaking. Particularly now when so much of what you might call communication is done virtually. Such endorsements are meaningless. They remain virtual endorsements, virtual truths. Now the voice may not even be a human being. Something isn't true because we say it is. We say something is true because it is true. And the source and goal of that truth is Christ, who was the first word spoken by God. The word became flesh and calls us. Everything else is either individualism, which divides, or vanity. Real relationships with facts or with people require us to be together. With virtual conversations or relationships, at the end of the day, you're still just alone. There is no personal invitation. There is no personal response or commitment. "Rabbi, where are you staying?" they asked him. And he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they went with him. Everyone has a desire to belong. That's what persons do. They make relationships. And we more than ever have a Christian duty to welcome, to invite everyone, to walk with them and win their trust and introduce them to Jesus and find a real place where they can belong, hear, enter, dialogue, and find fulfillment. Leaving ideology and judgments aside, all we need to do is bring them to Jesus. And his love will make whatever transformation is necessary. We leave that part to him. Perhaps we are in a season today when a revelation of the Lord is uncommon and vision infrequent. People are asleep at their usual place, like Eli was, their eyes having lately grown so weak that they cannot see. So we must bring them along. We must be willing to listen and hear. And after we realize what we have heard, call others.